John's gospel tells us that when Jesus entered that room, he looked at the disciples, said, "Peace be with you," and he showed them his hands. Let me ask a question. If the eyes are the windows to the soul, what are the hands? I wonder if the hands might be the map of the soul. Think about it. If you look at your hands, they're filled with lines and boundaries, ridges and valleys. They're distinct, like maps are. They tell us a little bit about who we are, who we've been, maybe who we aspire to be. Everybody's hands are unique. Some people's hands are calloused. Some people are smooth. Some people have perfectly manicured nails. Others, the cuticles may be a little rougher than we would like. My own hands, my pinkies are bent, and so they don't meet up the right way. It's a little odd. Maybe some of us write with pen and paper. I imagine most of us now have gotten more proficient at a keyboard, at a computer, and that's what we use our hands for. They tell us a little bit about who we are. Everybody's hands are unique and special. Some hands may be more memorable than others. I've heard about a pair of hands that were incredibly memorable for those who knew this particular person. I'm referring to Bishop Carpenter, who was bishop in Alabama for a number of years, from about 1938 to 1968. When he was elected, he was the youngest bishop in the House of Bishops, and when he retired 30 years later, he was the oldest bishop in the House of Bishops. I cannot imagine what he would have seen in his life as Bishop of Alabama, witnessing World War II, the Korean War, the war in Vietnam, most of the civil rights movement. Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter from the Birmingham jail was delivered to Bishop Carpenter. He was the clergyman in charge of that group of clergymen who met together about concerns in the city. He was a giant man, 6'9". And he was low church. He never wore any jewelry on his hands. He wouldn't even wear an Episcopal ring. And so tradition has it that when a bishop seals the ordination certificate for the clergy at their ordination, they sign it with their signet ring. Bishop Carpenter would just pull out whatever coin he had in his pocket, and he would make an indentation in the wax seal with that. One of my mentors had the most beautiful ordination certificate I've ever seen, signed with a buffalo nickel. There are many, many, many stories I've heard about Bishop Carpenter, but the one I always hear, and the one that seems to have made the biggest impression, was the experience of being confirmed by Bishop Carpenter. At 6'9", his hands were about the size of a baseball mitt. And people have described that experience of his hands sort of wrapping completely around their head as he would confirm them in his beautiful southern accent, invoking the Holy Spirit to fill the person moa and moa as they grew older. He liked to hunt, he liked to fish, he liked to work in his garden. So his hands were not silky smooth, they were a little rough and very memorable. Those hands, I think, told the story about who Bishop Carpenter was. When Jesus shows up in this room, his hands tell the whole story of who he was and who he is. I can't imagine what that moment would have been like. The disciples are locked away. They have witnessed the events since Good Friday. They've heard about the trial. They know about the crucifixion. And they are holed up in that room, terrified that what happened to Jesus will happen to them. And into that frightened group of men, hiding away, fearing for their lives, walks the resurrected Jesus. They had heard rumors that he had raised from the dead. They thought the women that came back and described the events of that morning were just telling fanciful tales. And here he is in their midst. And he says to them, "Peace be with you." And he shows them his hands. And when he shows them his hands, he shows everything about who he has been, his earthly ministry. Those are the same hands that fed the hungry and gave sight to the blind, lifted up the lowly, turned the water into wine, performed all those miracles, touched their lives. Those hands show everything about who he has been and everything about who he will be. And after he shows them his hands, he says those words, "Peace be with you." And he confers on them the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when he shows them those hands, and when he says those words, it is as though he hands off his ministry to that frail, broken group of men. Those men are just like we are. They are as ordinary as every one of us. Think about that. Four fishermen, a religious zealot, a tax collector, a physician. They have nothing in common. They're not invited into this relationship. They're not invited into this ministry because they're particularly smart or clever. They have really nothing in common except their relationship with Jesus Christ and perhaps their willingness to abandon him in their moment of need, in his moment of need. And rather than a rebuke, Jesus comes to them and says, "Peace be with you," and they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And after they've received that gift, that they tumble out into the streets, and they begin to preach and proclaim the gospel with conviction and with confidence, that they are completely transformed. In that moment, they become the church. That's what we celebrate on Pentecost. That is the significance of this day. This is the day that we became the church. In all our frailty and all our weakness, the risen Christ enters into our lives, gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and offers into our hands the proclamation of the gospel. Jesus calls us to be the church. And I wonder what that means for us. I don't believe Jesus called us as a church into a particular kind of regimented worship, as much as we enjoy this. I don't think he called us to wear particular kinds of vestments, as much as I enjoy these. Jesus called us simply to follow him. And following him means that we, like Jesus, reach out to the poor and the oppressed, the marginalized, the hungry, the blind, the hopeless. And we offer them the gift of the good news. Today, we again receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we are transformed from ordinary people into the extraordinary people of God, the body of Christ. So in just a few moments, we'll continue our celebration. We will come to the altar rail and we will stand or kneel and we will reach out our hands and we will receive into our lives again the body and blood of the risen Christ. And after having been nourished with that grace, we'll return to our pews. We'll return to the rest of our day. And maybe on this Pentecost, as we offer our prayers, having returned our seat, maybe we will hear the voice of the risen Christ speak to us. And we will wonder, and we will offer perhaps today that our hands may continue to be the hands of the risen Christ.